And welcome back on this beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. Finally, cooler weather there for a little while, and it didn't seem like we were ever going to be able to say that. But there's just a new life that comes back every time the fall season comes. So many parts of the country, you know, fall's going into your dreary season, you know, the depressing time of the year. It's, you know, here it's like everything's waking up. We're so excited. It's such a relief. We're going into our enjoyable time of the year. And we were talking about composting as we were going into the bottom of the hour news break, and we kept talking a little bit during the break, and I wanted to bring back up, you know, just a few more points that we were chatting about. You know, when you're composting, if you're getting your own mulch or your tree chips, you know, how do you apply that? You know, you've got a few things you need to be aware of so you don't do any harm to the tree.
Yeah, the wood chips, whether you're putting them down or your any kind of a compost, you want to be careful not to put too much. You know, the a little more of a good thing is not always better, as the saying goes, and it really applies to mulch. And there's a real tendency in the Midwest and in the East to create what they call mulch volcanoes. And you'll see these trees, street trees and people's trees and their yards, you'll see this trunk of the tree, and there's a volcano of soil mounded up against the trunk of the tree. And it is some sort of a diehard practice that is really, really harmful to trees because it wicks moisture up against the trunk of the tree. And the trunks of our trees are not really built for sustaining constant contact with water. Roots can handle water a lot better. They're designed for that root tissue. But trunk tissue needs to stay relatively dry. The last thing you want to do is put mulch up against the trunk of your trees because it will wick the moisture up against it, kind of like contact explosives. It just does a lot of damage to our trees. What happens is it creates an environment that's conducive to fungal pathogens, and Phytophthora and other fungal disease can move into that zone of a waterlogged trunk tissue and start destroying it. And once that cambium is destroyed right under the bark, the tree will decline and die. And many people have seen that happen. All of a sudden, you've had a beautiful tree in your yard, and you wonder what's happened to it. You see it starting to lose leaves. It's starting to not look as good. If you look closely around the base of the tree, you'll notice that it was planted too deep, and there's actually soil up against the trunk of the tree above the root collar. But you need to learn to dig down, find the root collar, and excavate all that soil out. If you've got a tree that the trunk disappears into the soil like a cliff into water, you'll know that if there's no trunk flare, the trunk flare, or the root collar, or the trunk collar, they call it, is the point at which the trunk becomes the roots. And that should be right at the soil level. And if you don't see that flare, that trunk flare at the base of your trees, you might want to dig down carefully and find it. It might be an inch below grade. It might be 2 or 3 or 6. We've dug some trees recently, and we dug down over a foot and couldn't find the root collar. It was down about, you know, 18 inches deep. And that's terrible because those roots are way, way down too deep in the soil. They need oxygen. But most importantly, you have to get that soil away from the trunk, because if you have your drip emitters or any other water source putting water down in there, it can wick, as I said, that soil will wick the moisture up against the trunk tissue and can cause a lot of decay. And it's the beginning of the end. But going back to your question about the mulch, you got to be careful. You don't want to put too much. So if you do put your mulch down around your trees, keep it away from the base of the trees altogether. Leave a nice little space there of several inches. You don't want that, you know, if your tree's down in a basin, eventually that if you've got that mulch lying loose on the soil, it'll start migrating down to the base of the tree and cause problems and start to build up there. So just be careful that you expose the root collar. And what happens if you do have the tree that's, you know, planted too deep? How do you remedy that? Well, we dig down to the root collar, then we excavate out and gradually slope the soil up to the regular grade, hopefully a foot or two away from the tree, and then get rid of all that excess soil that's above the root collar. And it's a little process. We call it a root collar excavation when we dig down and find the root collar and then do that kind of remedial work by removing any of that excess soil that's above the root collar. Trees planted too deep are one of the major causes of tree decline and death in Arizona, and we are really conscious of that. So look around your yard. If you see that tree that's been languishing in its location for years and you don't quite know why, it might be because it's been planted too deep, and you might want to think about digging down around it and giving it some oxygen. And we've done some root collar excavations, and we've seen trees respond almost immediately. And we've had a really great success in reviving some trees that just didn't want to do much. And then we dug down, got rid of that excess soil above the root collar, and all of a sudden they had enough oxygen that, boom, within the next year or two, they just took off. So you want to be watching for that in your own yard.
And you're not going to have, if this is your first year, you know, the compost, it's amazing how big of a pile will start and how small and little you'll have left at the end. So
that's true.
You're not going to get enough for your whole yard in one setting of composting. It's going to take a couple of years to build. You know, you may need to bring in some other bag material that every nursery carries hundreds of bags of all kinds of soils or composting or
potting soil. Yep. So. You name it. Yeah. And you're right. It does really shrink in size as it starts breaking down. And yeah, we like to just, you know, that's create some piles in different places in the yard and just kind of let it do its thing. And you can add to it if you want over the course of the year, you know, of the season. But it's kind of nice to have some stages of growth, so you're not putting fresh new materials on top of compost that's halfway through the composting process. So some people have some compost bins that are set up next to one another, and you've got your new materials, and you've got your half finished materials, and you have your finished compost, and you can kind of move them from one to another and kind of rotate them. That's a good plan, because otherwise you're kind of mixing on top of one another.
And you can get bulk orders delivered as well. There's a couple where all the landscape material is getting loaded at the dump. You know, there's companies that take that out, chip it, mulch it, and they've got it in big piles. They can load it with a tractor into a dump trailer and come drop it off at your house, or even chip drop. Now, I thought that was a pretty genius invention.
Yeah.
One example of a digital app that...
Sure. You can order a load of wood chips anytime you want. Just chipdrop.com, and they can arrange to have a local tree service that's in your area. Those tree services also have the app on their phone, and they're looking for you, and you're looking for them. And so when they are in your area and they've got a load or half a load of chips, you can hook up and get a free delivery of wood chips.
And you can't necessarily control what type of wood chip you're getting, but that really doesn't matter. Some people may be looking for a certain smell or mesquite smell, but there's no way to really control that. You've seen the crews on the side of the road, and they're got the branches cut down, and they've got, you know, the dump truck that's got the chipper, and it's got a big yellow Vermeer sign on it, and they're throwing the branches in. Well, instead of all of that going to the landfill now, if they've got the Chip Drop app, they look and see somebody looking for them. Well, they just, it saves them, in the perfect world, a trip from the dump. You know, you're probably closer, and you've got local material, so it's just a great way to, you know, recycle.
Yeah, and people have to remember, too, you're not going to be getting that beautiful uniform size chip like you see at the playgrounds. You know, this is going to have leaves. It'll have twigs in it. And you have to be careful, too, because it might have some thorns. And if you don't want thorns, you need to specify that. And I'm not sure you can do that on the app or not. But I don't think that there's some materials that you simply wouldn't want in at your home. So I'm not sure how that app works, but there are some undesirable components inside the compost that you want to just be careful that you know what you're getting. And but usually if it's a company that's doing a lot of tree removals, you know, it's really nice to get a nice uniform load of some fresh chipped eucalyptus or some olive and it's beautiful chips. But you'll be surprised. Sometimes those chippers are shredding the material as much as they are chipping it. So you get some big pieces that are, you know, 5, 6, 10 inches long, some shredded pieces of the bark. And so it's, you know, not really as uniform as you might expect, you know, with the kind of chipped playground wood. That's not quite like that.
But it's free.
But it's free, yeah.
And if you're not needing the aesthetic look of it, it's a perfect solution. A buddy of mine actually uses it for dust control and bedding for his horse stalls. So he just, you know, he constantly is just spreading it out in his stalls. You know, if you got the horses in an area and they're walking around, they can turn that ground into powdery dust. And I'm going to steal his trick on that. Before this segment wraps up, though, let's talk about the new service y'all have started at Save a Tree. You guys are now holiday ambassadors, let's call it.
No, we do have a holiday decor service, and it's really been a lot of fun helping people design a way of lighting their trees and lighting up the front of their homes. We have some beautiful wreaths and some amazing lights. And what's beautiful about the service is that we provide the help with the design. We do the installation. We do the teardown. We do the maintenance. We do the storage of the materials after the season's over. So we do the whole thing, and it's just a package deal, and it's really, really great. We were working with some customers just this last few days and getting ready for their holiday, and we're just getting started, and it's been a lot of fun, and I think we have some really talented folks on our install end, and our arborists are kind of excited to bring that service, because we have several customers of ours that they decorate the trees that we've trimmed, and now we get to help them in that decoration process and that design and installation process. We're getting real excited about doing that.
You know, it's funny how holiday lights can change how you actually trim a tree. I've got a row of trees that you see when you approach the property, mm-hmm. and I trim them slightly different than I do everything else, because I trim them with the plan of these are our holiday Christmas light trees, uh-huh. and you know, you want them to look a little different than your other one. Know, the rest of the trees, we like to keep them natural, but this is like our grand entrance at the holidays, and you know, we want that.
My wife and I know. In. My wife and I hired Save a Tree to do our lights this year, so we're getting real excited.
You hired yourself.
We are, and it's going to be really fun. We're trying to decide quite how to do it, but it's kind of neat, even in the design process. And there's some really great ideas and really great commercial quality grade lights, and the timer and everything is set. We do all that for you, and it's going to be good.
You didn't see nearly the amount of Halloween decorations that you normally do, but something tells me we're going to see more Christmas decorations than usual. Celebrating the end of 2020. Just get it behind us, and that restored spirit that comes with, with holidays and Christmas time and New Year's. I bet we're going to see more Christmas light decorations than normal.
Maybe so, yeah.